our Bibles this morning, we're going to be back in Philippians chapter number 4. Let me erase all this up here. We're going to pick back up with where we have been studying in Philippians chapter number 4. Go back with me to verse 10. He says, but in fact, let's read this whole section together. I apologize. Some of y'all are eating some food, which is great. Not a problem. But y'all took a bite and I told you to read, right? You don't have to, okay? So look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. We're going to read from verse 10 all the way to verse 13 together. Here we go. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's unite our hearts together. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for your word here today. We ask that as we continue to look at this wonderful passage before us about the how-to part of a walk of faith in the midst of whatever situation that we face, that it would be impressed upon our hearts once again that Christ is our life. He's our strength. He's our hope. He is our all in all, an amazing, eternal, true, living resource that we have the great privilege to not only reside in and rest in, but to live from. And we'll thank you for him in his precious name. Amen. Well, the title to the message is up here. It's How to Be. Well, how to be.
What?
Yeah, to be or not to be, he says, right? Okay. But how to be. How to be. And you can see that there, the statement, if you look at verse 12, I mean, it's kind of an incomplete sentence, isn't it? It is a sentence, but not, kind of, right? I should ask my wife. She's the perfect English teacher. Okay, it's not, right? It's missing something, right? But you can see at verse 12, he says, I know both, what are the next three words? There it is right there. Today we especially want to focus on the how-to part. So we want to move beyond simply the idea of theoretical theory that something's supposed to work, but to actually how-to. So the how-to-be. And that verse says, 12 again, it says, I know both how to be, what, abased. I know how to abound. Well, how is the question. How do you do that? He says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be, there it is again, full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We started looking at this section last week. And let me read again the definition of the word content. Because when you come back to verse, if you go back to verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be. And then what's our word there? Content. Let me read again the definition. The word content means to satisfy the mind. It means to make quiet. So as to stop complaint. Ooh, could some of us use that this week maybe? Right. To make ease in any situation. It means to rest. It means quietness of the mind in the present condition or situation. It means restraining complaint. It often implying a moderation. We've seen that word in this chapter, right? Let your moderation be known to all men. So what we noticed last time, what we mentioned last time, When you look at verse 11 there, he says, not that I speak in respect of want. So Paul isn't writing this to explain to the Philippians about Paul's lack of stuff. You see that verse there? When he said back at verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. We'll talk more about that when we get to verse 15. But he tells him at verse 11, he says, when I'm speaking this to you, when I'm telling you that I'm grateful for the gift that you sent, I'm not writing this to kind of secretly pressure you to feel like you got to send more. Don't people do that? You know, coerce someone into feeling obligated to give more. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. What did we discuss last week? What's the secret to being content with whatever state we're in? What's the secret? Say it loud, please.
Resting in your standing.
That's right. It's knowing and resting in your standing in Christ. That's the secret with being content in your state. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to believe that it is so. And then you have to make a choice to let it be so, because it is so. That's the sense of resting in it. Let's look at a few more phrases about the idea of knowing, resting, things like that. Go back with me. I just want you to see some phrases here. Go back with me to Romans 6. Just some phrases here. We're going to do this kind of quickly here, because we want to get back to Philippians 4. Look at verse 1, Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are what? See how it says dead to sin there? Live any longer therein? Now, what are the first three words of verse 3? See that? So Paul bases the beginning of his answer about the kind of a life that the believer should live, and in particular the resource from which the believer is to live that life, he begins his instruction with, know ye not. What do those three words mean?
You
should know it. So a walk of faith is not based upon, don't you feel it? It's, no, you're not. A walk of faith is not based upon how you feel about something. What's the problem with feelings? They're always changing. You know, they're like Disneyland, the roller coaster. You know, and when you go to the theme parks nowadays, it already was expensive, but now they've really jacked up the price to try to make up for lost time with all everything being shut down. A walk of faith is based upon, know ye not? Not, don't you feel? See the principle there? So we have to know who God has made us to be in Christ. In this particular chapter, and this is the start of a real an appreciation and understanding of who we are in Christ, he tells us in verse 11 that we are to reckon ourselves what? Dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God. Now the point going over here, the reason is simply for that phrase, know ye not, know ye not, know ye not. In order to be content, you can let go of Romans, you go back to Philippians there. In order to go back to Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have... Now, what's the next word?
Learned.
What is implied in the word learned? Knowledge? Is that what you said, Tom? Knowledge. What else is implied in the word learned? Yeah, something that you didn't know before. That's excellent. Learned. Good. What else? Okay, you've gained some experience. Experience is one of the greatest teachers that there ever is. All right? What else is implied in the word learned?
Understanding.
What's that?
Understanding.
Understanding. Excellent. What else is implied in the word learned? Look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am what?
Instructed.
So when you put those two words together, you've got learned, you've got instructed. So back to the word learned. What's implied in the word learned? There's an instruction going on. There's a teacher. It's happening. What else is implied in the word learned?
Choice.
There it is right there. It's willingness. How many of us are hard-headed? I'm going to raise both hands, okay? You know, my wife and I, we've been married, this year will be 42 years. She is going to get, is that right? She looked at me funny. I thought, oh, did I miscalculate? Yeah, 42 years. So she's racked up a lot of glory over those 42. Some of y'all know what I mean by that, okay? But yeah, the idea of learned is a willingness. And what gets in the way is the hard head, right? We think we know it, and we're stuck, as it were. And the idea of learned is the willingness to say, you know what? I'm not as smart as I ever thought I was. You know, and you struggle with, how come I'm dumber today than I was yesterday? I thought at least I would be gaining more. But understand that's not a derogatory beatdown. It is a willingness to realize throughout every single day, if I think I've learned everything there is to is, if I think every day that I've learned everything there is to learn, that's dumb. Being open to realize, wow, this is an eternal book about the eternal God from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we'll be learning eternally. So if I ever close my mind thinking that there's nothing else I can learn and so forth, and if I ever think that, well, I know everything just perfectly, you just shut yourself off as a student. And when that verse says that I've learned in whatsoever state, so Paul made the choice to allow himself in any particular situation. We're going to see some of the situations here momentarily. He made a choice to be content. Not because he was happy with the circumstances, nor were the circumstances always fun and exciting. They were awful, as we're going to see momentarily. But he learned to allow the circumstance to remind him as to his true identity, his true resource, being the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, if we don't get anything else out of this that we're looking at right now, last week, this week, and next week, and so forth, that's the most important thing. We have a resource that is more than sufficient to equip us, to enable us, to sustain us, and indeed to make us more than conquerors. And it is through Him that loved us. He is our resource. So the key to really being content with our state, you have to know your standing. And you have to rest in that standing. Now, okay, pop quiz time. You guys join us on Tuesday, Wednesday Zoom studies. We do pop quizzes oftentimes, don't we? Okay, someone over on this side of the room, tell me, give me a word that identifies something about our standing in Christ. Give me a word. Pick a word.
Accepted.
Accepted. That's a fantastic one. Okay. So someone on this side of the room, give me another word. Complete. Isn't that interesting how those two always come up? I love it. That's so awesome. Okay. And you are complete in Him, right? Accepted, complete. Okay, someone on this side, maybe further back. Someone give me another word.
Forgiven.
Okay, forgiven. That's kind of a big one, right? Forgiven. Okay, totally. How forgiven? 100%. Okay. So forgiven in Christ. Someone in the back on this side. Give me another word up here.
Indwelt.
What's that? Someone say?
Indwelt.
Okay, indwelt. Okay, I was going to say sealed. Put those together, right? In fact, we'll put sealed up there. Okay. Very good. And you could add to that list. You're accepted, you're complete, you're blessed, you're forgiven, sealed, indwelt, alive in Christ. Go ahead.
Risen.
Risen, excellent. And see how you can just add all those. Give me someone else on this.
Justified.
Okay, yeah, exactly. I'm going to just go like that, just as in justified. Someone over on you?
Loved.
What's that?
Loved.
That's so important, right? Loved. One more over here. Someone else? Something else?
Not ashamed.
Okay, you're not ashamed. Good. What else?
More than conquered. Yeah,
okay, how about that one? More. And I'm just going to go like that. More than conquerors. See him that loved us. What's that?
We're exalted.
Exalted. You're raised up together. You're a new creature. You have eternal life. You're saint of the Most High God. You're right. I'm just going to go RN for righteous. Whose righteousness do you have?
Christ's
righteousness. Okay. So let me answer it this way. Let's say something comes along, a situation comes along, and health-wise, you're not doing so well. The perishing of the outer man. Is there anything on this list here about your identity in Christ that can help you through that? Such as? So who said yes? Okay, Barry, give me some. Barry recently went through kind of a traumatic, as in heart attack, you know, emergency room kind of heart attack, like less emergency surgery kind of, you know, that's kind of over the top. Barry's, everything he does, he's over the top. Just get over it, right? You know?
We have to pray Philippians 4:13, my wife and I, before I went in, so it just touched my heart. But yeah, you know that you're complete in Christ, no matter what the circumstance is, nobody can change that.
Yeah. No matter what the outcome, amen. No matter what the health situation outcome would have been, you in your mind and in your heart, you have to grab a hold of these, and you have to let them grab you. Some of you here remember dear brother Keith Spolstra. Big tall guy, ministry down in San Diego, has been with the Lord a number of years. When we first came out here to California back in 1980, November of 1980, I was in the Marine Corps stationed out here at Camp Pendleton, and we got word that there was a small grace group down in San Diego, so we used to drive down there and everything. That's where we met you guys. Isn't that cool? We've known each other all this time, and we're still friends. That's what grace does, man. And we were just getting into the grace message. Maybe by that time, I think maybe even less than a year, something like that. And I remember one of the very first things Brother Keith said to me, he said, it's not whether or not you have a hold of the mystery, but does the mystery have a hold of you? I've never forgotten that. Isn't that something to think about? If you have a hold of it, then circumstances can come along and maybe you can have a light grip on it and let it go. But boy, if it has a grip on you, it constrains you. It won't let you go. No matter how much you want to get away from it sometimes, you know. We not only want to grab, hold, grip tightly these truths, but we want to let these things constrain us. Get a hold of us. So that whatever state we find ourselves in, good or bad, this is where we find our purpose, our meaning, our reason for living. We take it from our identity in Christ, not from the circumstance. Circumstances constantly change. We talked about that last time. The thing about our state, it's in a constant state of flux, change. The thing about our standing, it is constant. It's eternal. Now, in the light of all this, this was review from last week. In the light of all this, and we've really kind of answered the question already, therefore, Paul says, if you go on now to verse 12, now again, help me. He says, I know both how to be, and what does he say there? Okay, we've got the based. Okay, and then he says, I know how to what? Bound. So he says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be what?
Full.
And to be what?
Hungry.
There should be a why there. Both to what? Abound. And to what?
Suffer.
That should be an R. Need. I need a verse that says I found out how to spell. Right? And have a decent handwriting. Okay. But let me just fix that. Okay. Okay, look at that. So how do you abound and at the same time be abased? How do you at the same time be hungry and at the same time be full? How do you at the same time abound and suffer need? How do you do that?
Read the Word.
That's key. Right? Okay, you said read the Word. But that in and of itself won't do it. You got to believe it. You got to trust. Now you got to read it. That's true. Okay, but you got to believe what it says. And when we say believe, you have to depend upon that. What it's telling us is the truth. You see, if we just read it, and I understand you meant believe it. Okay, I understand that. But if we just read it, it's easy to keep it out here at a distance, right? It's easy to not let it get into our hearts. It's easy to keep it out there. What happens is that life has a way of us having to make choices about, okay, what am I going to rely on? What am I going to trust to get me through this calamity or challenge? What am I going to believe? Where am I going to seek to find peace and assurance? And so as life comes along and presents those questions to us, now we turn to the Word and we say, well, here's what God's Word says about the present situation. Here's what God's Word says about who I am in Christ. Now we get to make that choice to internalize it and let it be what it is. And that is God's counsel to us about how and what a walk of faith looks like. Okay? See that there? Now let's get some definitions here. The word abased, that word means to be made low. It means to be cast down. It means to be humbled. Those types of things. The word abound means obviously the exact opposite of that. It means to be made full, to have more than enough, to have in great sufficiency, great abundance. You see how those are definitely not describing the same situation. Okay? So let's think about this. Let's just, right now, in our mind, let's think this through together. To be hungry, what does that mean? Besides, I didn't have breakfast this morning, kind of a concept. What does that mean to be hungry? It not only literally means I didn't have food, that's true. But what else is the sense, what else can the sense of being hungry mean? Something that you'd like to have, but you don't have it. You're unfulfilled. Is that what, I think that's what Ken said. Is that, okay?
Desire.
And it's clear that the sense of hungry here not only literally means he didn't have food sometimes, but we can also understand that the word hungry, that should be a Yeah. Let me start over. Okay. All right. R. Why? Okay. But the idea of hungry is, you have a legitimate... Listen, food is a legitimate need, right?
Yes.
Legitimate, right? So to be hungry, not only can, in Paul's case, was in relationship to literal food. Sometimes he just didn't have food. When Paul talks about fasting, one of the times in particular when he's talking about fasting, he's not talking about following the Old Testament ceremonial fasting. He didn't have food. So he said, okay, this is going to be my 24-hour fast or 7-day fast program, you know. So to be hungry is you don't have that which is something, in this case, literal food. You don't have something that is necessary to sustain you. The opposite of that, to be full, is to what?
Nothing.
Yeah, you have more than enough. Great sufficiency. What about this thing about suffer need? To suffer means to what? To experience, to deal with, to tolerate, to put up with. And then what's need? What's need? It means, well, I don't have what I need. The opposite is that, to have more than I need. So let's think this through then. Let me just do this again. Let's think this through. Knowing who we are in Christ, when I find myself hungry, whether it's for physical food or hunger for something else that is a legitimate desire, what would a thinking process look like that enables me and empowers me to be content, even though I don't have what I legitimately really could desire? What's a thinking process? Go ahead, Karen.
I can do all things through Christ.
There it is. You know what? I can get through this because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Verse 13, right? What else? That, by the way, that's the key right there. The Apostle Paul, when speaking to the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. So when I find myself in this situation, or being made low, being humbled, when I find myself cast down, what is a walk of faith? What should my thinking look like? Do you know anyone that talks to you? Who talks to you? Well, you do, right? Now, others might do as well, right? But every one of us have that self-talk. So instead of having self-talk, we should have our talk with our Father, our Heavenly Father, in all these things. So when we find ourselves made low, when we find ourselves hungry, a legitimate desire for something that we don't have, when we find ourselves putting up with, tolerating, not complaining about the fact that I have legitimate needs and they're just not being met. What is the thinking process? What would a thinking process over here look like?
Think about what you do have.
Excellent. Okay, so we've already said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We've already said, God, His counsel is my grace is sufficient. And then Katie just said what? You said, think about what? Think about what we do have. And or will have. What's that?
Romans 8:18.
So let's think out loud right now. So even though I don't have food, I do have, fill in the blank.
Romans 8:38.
I got Romans 8:38, 39. Nothing. I have the promises of God that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So even though I don't have, I do have.
I'm persuaded.
Even though I have need, I have more than enough. Because of who I am in Christ. You see how this works? I know you do. I'm emphasizing this so I can get it, okay? But see how this works? The how-to process, it boils down to the choices of our thoughts. The choices of what we're going to trust, what we're going to believe, where we're going to rest and be content. Okay, well, how about on that side of the board? Let's say I find myself where I have more than enough. My refrigerator's full, the cabinets are full, my tummy's full, whatever. I got everything I need. Now, what's the danger over here? What's that? You forget about God. I have everything. What do I need Him for? Let me have you look at a real interesting passage. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 real quick. Here Moses is telling Israel about they're going to enter into the land. It's a land flowing. What a description of land. Flowing with milk and honey. What a description, right? But milk, the word milk, it's not only milk like, by the way, you know, you don't get milk. Milk doesn't come from the grocery store. It comes from cows. Dairy cows, right? You understand that, right? But the idea of milk is not simply the white liquid kind of stuff that you drink. But the idea of milk is what? Nourishment. The produce, as it were. The flowing of what the land provides. So he describes the land as land flowing with milk and honey, nourishment and sweetness. And you think of all the things that honey actually is. I got to stay on track, okay? And he's telling Israel, you're going to go into the land. Not only is it flowing with milk and honey, but there you're going to find that cities are already built. Houses are already there. The economy's all ready to go. The roads are there, the cars are there, the internet's there, cell phones are there already. Not really, but anyway. He says, I'm going to have you jump to verse 11, Deuteronomy 6:11, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be what? They're going to go into that land and they're going to find everything prepared to the full. Look at the concern. It's in the next verse. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see what the great concern is about over here in this category, when you're full, when you have more than enough, when you're beyond any need, what's the great concern over here? What's the great concern? That you forget who your true identity is, your true wealth, what it is, your true resource. So the how-to: be content when I'm full is to remember our true riches, our true wealth. What'd you say, Barry? Is in Christ. So when you're here, remember your true fullness. It's the riches of God in Christ Jesus, He's given to us. And when you're over here resting in the fact that you do have physical fullness, plenty of food, plenty of shelter, it is to remember your true eternal wealth is in Christ. The true eternal things that matter are in what you really have in Christ. Think about this one. Suffer need. need. What does the word need mean? What does that mean? Lack. That word right there is, man, you talk about an instructor. That word right there, need. When we have need, what do we tend to do? We tend to try to solve it. And in trying to solve it, whether you solve it depends on where you go to try to solve it and what you're looking for to solve it. When we're over here, when we're experiencing that need, we have to remind ourselves that in Christ, He is my supply. He is my abundance. He is my resource. The idea of need, need is such a great teacher. Need is my constant instructor, if I let it be. It is that which constantly reminds me that the things of this life are temporary. They're not eternal. That this life is passing so fast, so quickly. To make our life's purpose the pursuit of temporary material things, it's a vain pursuit. How come? Because they're going to be gone. And especially in the light of the fact that Christ already is our life. He already is our resource. You are already sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, accepted in the Beloved, made complete in Christ, blessed, risen with Him, already set with Him in heavenly places. So the how-to part, whatever block we find ourselves in, and what's interesting is, let me do it this way. I'm going to erase that one right there. Wherever you find yourself in this grid, fundamentally, wherever you find yourself, if you find yourself over here, remember that at any moment you might wind up over there. If you find yourself abased, made low, remember that in Christ, His grace is sufficient. You find yourself full, overflowing with everything. Remember, it was not always that way. And if we stay hungry, we will appreciate more the fullness. When we find ourselves suffering need, we can remind ourselves, you know what? I have more than enough of that which is eternal. My stomach might be growling right now. Might be saying, boy, I'd sure, you know, you're driving down the car, driving down the street and everything, and someone's barbecuing. You go, oh, wow, well, keep on the road. You suffer need. You tolerate it. You put up with it. Because maybe you don't have access to fulfilling the need at that moment. But you realize, wow, I have Christ. Now, I'm going to impose upon the time just a few more minutes this morning. I want us to look at, let's look over to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Let's look at just a few passages here and then we'll wrap this up for today. Right? Watch this. Watch how the Apostle Paul, he describes the reality of this grid working in his experience. It's really amazing. 2 Corinthians 6, I'm going to start at verse 9, although you could have started prior to this. 2 Corinthians 9, he says this, as unknown, that is, Paul was saying in certain situations he's unknown, but you know what? But in other cases, he is well known. You see that? So, on the one hand, people didn't really know him, but on the other hand, they sure were talking about him as unknown and yet well known. And then he says this, as dying, so there is to be abased. And behold, we what? There's abounding. By the way, that was 2 Corinthians 6, 9. Did I give you the right reference?
Yes.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 6, 9. He says, as dying, and behold, what? There's the thinking. There's the how-to. He says, as chastened, there's being made low. And yet not what? Not killed. There's the abounding. He says, as sorrowful, there's his suffering need. He's experiencing sorrow. Not only for his nation to continue to reject God's word, but even the Gentiles. And then certainly those that were walking away from the faith. When you remember Philippians, he said about those that were the enemies of the cross. He says, I tell you now, even weeping. Paul experienced that sorrow. He was abased. What's the next phrase say? What does it say?
Rejoicing.
Yet always rejoicing, living over here. You see that? In the midst of his sorrow, what could he rejoice in? He had Christ. Or should we say, Christ had him. And then he says this, as poor. Listen, Paul was hungry. Did you realize Paul didn't have a 401k? Did you know that? People have said about Paul, Paul had lots of stocks and bonds. But we're not talking about Wall Street. We're talking about prison, right? He says, as poor. That's this side of the board. And yet, doing... What does it say? What's it say? Making many rich. How? Because of the message he was preaching. Do we realize how infinitely wealthy we already are in Christ? Think about that. As poor, yet making many rich. Look at what it goes on to say. As having nothing, that's this side of the board, yes? And yet, what does it say? Possessing all things. We're blessed with how many spiritual blessings?
Yeah.
All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're raised up with Him. We're set together with Him in heavenly places that in the ages to come, and they are coming whether you like it or not. You realize tomorrow's coming whether or not you're ready for it? You know that? Can I say something to the young couple here? You notice she's great. They are great with child. The baby's coming. Get ready. It's gonna, he or she is going to be here soon. It's like, whoa! Our grandson, we have two grandchildren. You know, we have Evelyn and Silas. Silas is going to be 5 next month. No, remember he was born during the conference time. Remember, Laura and I were talking about he. What 5? Where did those years go? Tomorrow's coming. Well, it's not going to wait. It is coming. Guess what else is coming? The ages to come. Eternity is coming. And when Paul says there, in that verse, he says, as having nothing, and yet what?
Possessing all
things. Isn't that wonderful? You see how Paul got through everything? You see the how-to? Let's do one more passage. This one will only take 30 minutes. But anyway, because there's about 30 verses. No, I'm just joking. But let's do one more. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 11 this time. And then I have a question. Pop quiz. Application time, right? 2 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read several verses here, and then we're going to ask a question. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. I'm going to start at verse 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Okay, everybody with me? Notice what he says. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths how often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. And you know he's not talking about Anyway. Yeah, you have to understand that, right? He says, thrice I suffered shipwreck. And that doesn't even include the one in Acts 27. He's got at least one more to go. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Think about how terrifying that had to have been. You know, you don't know what's lurking beneath. But can't your mind sure freak you out? Right? He says, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. That's probably the most dangerous group, that last one right there. Mm-hmm. False brethren. What are perils? Man, that's just danger. 27, he says this, in weariness and what? Can any of you here today relate to painfulness? Your brother Gene and I were talking this morning about his dear wife. I hope she doesn't mind me bringing this up. She's probably listening right now, perhaps. She's been in physical pain for years now. Just constant, nonstop pain. And I was telling him that sometimes at night when I wake up in 2 in the morning all nauseated and everything, I tell myself, hey, John, don't complain. Think about dear sister Bev and the level of pain. And some of you right here today, and some of you listening on the internet, you too know painfulness. You know it. You know how just debilitating it can be, and it can wear you out. It can just grate on you. You can just sometimes you just feel like you're not going to be able to go on another moment. Right? You know that. That's the perishing of the outer man. And you can relate to a verse like that. You can relate to the Apostle Paul in a verse like that. And he says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Sometimes Paul flat out didn't have any food. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a warm bed to go to at night. Cold and nakedness. This whole section here is Paul describing this category or this category? He's flat out being abased. You see that there? How is he getting through all this? Because he's living in this category. He goes on to say his prayer to God. God says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, this category, all this doctrine, all this information, how rich we are in Christ, this category works when I realize I'm in this category and I'm at the end of myself. I'm at the end of me trusting me. When I am weak, that's this side, then am I strong. And that's the how-to. And then say it with me, Philippians 4:13. I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is our life. He is our hope. He is our strength. I'll ask the musicians to come forward as we close in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it instructs us. It teaches us about reality. It tells us the truth about life and human experience. And it tells us the truth about eternal things. It reminds us again and again that we really can and should trust you and to live out of the resource of Christ, our hope, our life, our all in all. In whose name we give you praise and honor. Amen.